All right. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 1. We'll start off there. This is living by the book. John chapter 1, in the beginning. I probably won't wait for you very, very long, so I did pause or whatever you got to do. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of that light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighted every man that cometh into the world. He was in this world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Verse 14. We'll read it together. I'm going to read under the verse, but just read it with me. Ready, read. And the word of God was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I want to read that first part of verse 14 again. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So it's a simple conversation. The word of God became alive in Jesus. When Jesus came down here and came to live his life, he showed what the word looks like. What I really want to tell you, and I said this in our intro class, is that the Bible is actually a story of you, and you can actually find yourself. You know, words are, there's a scripture in the Bible says, the letter itself killeth, but the spirit gives life. Even, flip over to John chapter 5, real quick. John chapter 5, and we'll be reading this a lot. And we start off verse 39, but the word was made flesh. So that means it's no longer on the paper, but it's actually live standing in front of you. You know, you can have a manual for something. And I mentioned this last week. You can have a manual for something, but the manual is not necessarily that thing, right? It may tell you how that thing works, tell you how that thing is supposed to function, or how you're supposed to put it together, or different things of that nature. But what's on that paper can never function. If you have a dishwasher or a washing machine or something like that, what's on that paper never can wash your clothes, right? What's on that paper will never wash your dishes. It'll never do it. But it speaks so clearly and so profoundly about it and precisely, even down to the parts of the machine, right? But it can never be what the machine is. And that machine, whatever it is, it won't wash your dishes until you activate it as a live, living thing. Right, until you press those buttons that turn it on. We're going to press our buttons this semester. We're going to press our buttons in this class to turn. Too long have we been trying to live by the book, and we've been studying for ritual. We've been studying for to please God. We've been studying because we should. We've been studying to try to keep ourselves in order. Or all these different things. Sometimes we study, you know, people come to school because they think they want to preach. You know, we study because we got a message or we got a word we got to give on Sunday. No. All those are the wrong reasons to be studying the word or living by the book. When we finish in this class this year, you're going to not want to put the book down, and especially the red words. You won't, you know me, you know how I feel about the red words. You won't want to put them down because it's telling you about who you are. These words are telling you who you are, and it'll show you where you're off. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. It's talking about Jesus. So now everything that we're studying, all the principles that we're trying to acclimate in our lives, put together, they are alive in Christ, which eliminates our excuses of them being alive in us. As soon as the word was made flesh, then, and you got to realize the word was always flesh. In the beginning, God said, and there was. God said, let's make man before he actually made man. So man began as a word. You began as a word. You are the word in the flesh. But because of life and because of systems and because of all this mass media, mass mind and mass information, we've taken on and we've fleshed out. Listen to what I'm trying to say. We've embodied and fleshed out other doctrines or other things or other mindsets or other ideas. Even when in chapter 1, it says, and it was light of man and the darkness comprehended it not. That's talking about dark things on the inside of you. That's talking about dark thinking that you've committed your mind to that cannot comprehend when Jesus is trying to show you who you really are. When Jesus starts talking about who you really are and showing you who you really are, you almost look at it like, this is too good to be true. Nah, he can't be talking about me. Then all your condemnation, all your guilt come up. Then on the other side of it, some of our ego come up, and some of us wanting a reward comes up. And it's almost like it can't be it. Yes, you are the Word in the flesh. Say, I am the Word of God in the flesh. This is who you are. And so Jesus comes to give us an example. We even break down words. There's something called etymology. And etymology is it'll tell you the origin of a word. So you can look up a word and say, where did it come from? Where's the origin as far as English is concerned? And it'll give you the year that they started using it. I even go back and start studying Hebrew and Aramaic. Aramaic is the original language that Jesus spoke. And there are a lot of sometimes differences in our English language to their language. The English writers, thank God for whoever wrote the King James Bible, but the English writers were trying to translate it as best as they could. And there's some other conversations about that we'll get into later on in the semester. But I go back and I even look at different things. For instance, John 3:16 is one of your favorite scriptures. And it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. But we don't even understand what that really means a lot of times. What that really means is, for God so loved the world. When you see the word world, if you look it up in the Greek, it really means a harmony. It's something that was made to work together. So God actually loved the world, and it says he so loved it. He liked what he put together already. I like the way I made this work. I like the way I made the animals. I like the way I made man. I like the way seed time and harvest works. I like the organization. I like that I put the sky up there and the water over here. I like that I made the moon come up. I like that the earth has been. I like how I set up the universe. I so loved it that I gave my only begotten son. Now we're gonna read further, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but we're gonna read further. That when you see the word son of God, that means equal with God. A few chapters down, it says in John, it says, and we're going to be all up in the book of John, but in a few chapters down, he says, the people got upset with him, you know, and called him a blasphemer and wanted to kill him because he said he called himself a son of God, making himself equal with God. When reading the scriptures, and let me give you a little lesson before we go, when reading the scriptures, you have to put things in context. And we talked about context in the intro last week. But you have to put things in context, and context means who am I talking to? Why am I talking to them this way? Which way was the wind blowing? Was it nighttime? Was it daytime? Are these people that are heathen? Are these people that think they're holy already? What is the context? Context is important because now you find out the vibe of what's going on and why it's being said that way. It is not as simple as just picking it up. I really dislike being biblically selective. Biblically selective means you pick a scripture, you find about two or three scriptures that got the same word in it, and then you preach a message on it. And many times we're biblically selective, and it kills the power of the moment of what's going on. So they get now understanding the context, understanding the meaning of words, understanding the culture of the time, you know, there's much more digging that has to be done. You understand the culture of the time, then you realize that when and it's not so much like this now. In this 21st century, or this 20, like right now in 2021, but when you see a son, he was equal to the father. So when Jesus says, I'm a son of God, that means I was equal with God, right? They couldn't handle that. If you ever read the scriptures, they never called God father in the Old Testament. Go look it up. They had every other name in the world, Almighty God, and El Shaddai, and El Elyon, and Adonai, and Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Tsidkenu, and all the different Jehovah Rapha. And I'm not knocking none of those names, but none of them touch, when it comes down to relationship, none of them touch Father. Because Father breeds equality. Father breeds empowerment. Father breeds what I have, you have. The prodigal son story, that one son that stayed home, the father told him, son, thou art ever with me. All that I have is thine. Fatherhood is different. Fatherhood is different than Almighty God. Fatherhood is different than Most High God. He wants to be your father. A lot of these other names are very, very impersonal. And so Jesus, the Word in the flesh, teaches us how to be the Word, teaches us what's the Word's relation to God. God was the Word. God was with the Word was with God, and the Word was God, right? And then the Word made flesh. It's breeding our equality with the Father. Not that you are the Almighty God on your own, but you are bred from him. Therefore, you have the same attributes, same characters. any character in you that is not matching his character, anything that's going on, any results that you get that doesn't match the results of God, or some counterfeit thing, or some poison thing, or some virus thing that has snuck into your system and is hiding dormant, trying to act like it's really who you are. Scripture really tells us who we really are, and especially the red words. John 5:39, Jesus goes and he says, and he tells you how he feels about the Bible and how he feels about the script at the time, because there was no Bible at the time of Jesus. The Bible came years and years and years after Jesus. There was no Bible. So all the people that are in the Bible didn't have a Bible. Something to think about, right? John 5:39, he says, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they was testified of me." Listen to what he's saying. So he's saying, search them. And this is what we've been doing. We've been searching. We've been studying. We've been trying to study the word of God. We got our favorite little scriptures we know or whatever. Some of them are searching. Some of us haven't. But we got these little scriptures that we know the favorite things. But he said, go ahead and keep searching them. He said, because in them you think you have eternal life. And they was testified of me. Verse 40 says, "And you will not come to me that you might have life." What he's trying to say is, when you're searching these scriptures, they're leading to him and his character. But you can search the scriptures and get down in there and never come all the way to Christ. Listen to what I'm saying. You never come, or you never develop, you never appear. The word "come" in the Bible means to appear, means to show up. You never show up really looking like Christ. You never really arrive to your real Christ nature because you're stuck in the scriptures. You say, "I can get stuck in the scriptures?" Yes, you can get stuck in the scriptures. I've seen people quote scriptures up and down, left and right, and die. I've seen people quote scriptures left and right and never get their life together, never live the victorious life that they quote in the scriptures about. Why? Because it's still on the paper and it's not made flesh and dwelling among you. The intention of God was for him to put himself in us and then it be alive in this system to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, to duplicate the same thing he was doing. This was the goal. But for years we got caught up with the rhetoric, and it's because of how we've been taught over the years, how the church was established over years. You'll learn more about that in your next year class if you make it. It's funny. In your next year class, the Church Unusual with me. But it's the establishment, the way it was taught. And so now this became a law book, a religious book. We're going to talk about the law a lot. We're going to talk about the difference between the law and the spirit, the difference between Jesus said, "I didn't come to do away with the law, but I came to fulfill it." That's the word in the flesh. That means I didn't come to get rid of it, but I wanted to show you what it looks like live standing in front of you. Well, what's the point? What's the point? We're talking about the manual. What's the point of having a manual and breaking out the manual? You got a desk you got to put together, and you breaking out the manual and all the pieces and screws there. What's the point of reading the manual and having the manual and never picking up a piece of the table or a piece of the desk or screws or any tools to put it together? And you're just sitting there looking at it. Boy, that's good. Boy, I bet, boy, that's a good desk one day. Boy, that's a good desk. Boy, that desk is amazing. That sounds just like what we do. Boy, Jesus, you amazing, boy. Boy, Jesus, that man. You got the manual, but you're not even putting it to work. Boy, Jesus coming back one day. Boy, we be talking all kind of stuff in the future tense. When I am means it's right now. And this is all Jesus is trying to teach us and trying to show us. So now when we're in these scriptures, I believe this to be true, and I know this to be true, that these red words give blood to all the other words in the scripture. We can read a lot of stuff in the Old Testament. We can read a lot of stuff in the epistles. The epistles are Acts to Revelation. The Old Testament is Genesis to Malachi. We can read a lot of different things, pick up a lot of different principles. I know everybody don't read Proverbs every day, and everybody want to be this kind of person and that kind of person. But listen, I want to be Christ. I want to function like Christ, because this is what Jesus is telling me. So now throughout these red words, and I'm not saying they're the only words, but I think that they feel, it's just like blood filling the body. These red words fill the rest of the black words, the rest of the scripture, and they bring life. John 6:63 says, "It's the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. If ye abide," John 15:7, I'm getting ahead of myself, but we're going to read a lot of these. "If you abide in me," this is what Jesus says. He says, "and my words," now he's saying my words, But he's talking about himself because he is the word. And my words abide in you. You should ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. It's dominance. It's the power to dominate. But that power to dominate is only there when you are aware that these are just not words on paper, but these are actually showing me who I am and where I am. And so the truth of the matter is, when you're studying the word of God, you're not trying to find a principle to put on something. We learn like you want to try to find a faith scripture to put faith on something. Or you trying to find a healing scripture to put, I'll never forget. And I learned this when I was younger, and it had some effect, and it worked somewhat. 1 Peter 2:24, who is also bad our sins on his body, on the tree, that we've been dead to sins, should live in the righteousness by whose stripes we are healed. And I would say it every time I got a stomachache, every time I had a headache, every time I was feeling bad, and I was trying to take the scripture and put it on what was going on me, going on with me. Instead of realizing that scripture was telling me who I am from the inside and for whatever I needed to birth from the inside of me, because the scripture is who I am. You see the difference? See, you have everything that you need that pertain to life and godliness, but sometimes you have them in the wrong place. You put your roof on your floor and you tried to make your walls out of glass instead of using your glass for your window. You know, glass is great to be for a window and everything, but it's not really nothing that you want to put your foundation of your home on. Like where you put the concrete at, you don't really want to make that out of glass. But glass is a great thing when it's in the right place. The word of God, Jesus in the flesh, shows us. The law was trying to do a lot of different things, but you know, the commandments. Y'all know the commandments. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. All these different things. But it kept on telling us what not to do, but it never told us what to do. And it always dealt with our actions and not our being. Who am I? This is the question. Jesus said, I didn't come to do away with the law, right? Because all those things are true. You should not kill. But I'm going to show you that you're not a killer. Y'all better hear me. I'm going to show you that thou shalt not steal. Yes, it's true. But I want to go further deep down the route to let you know who you really are. I feel the spirit while I'm talking about this. I want to let you know who you really are from the inside. And when I let you know who you are from the inside, your outsides will match what's going on. See what's happening? We've been trying to break a lot of habits and change a lot of things and rearrange a lot of things in our lives from the outside because it's all we knew. And we've been trying to put a scripture on it and change and trying to go, you know, 21 days of this and do it, and trying to change it from the outside when in actuality you have to deal with the root. When I let you know that who you truly are is not a thief, thou shalt not steal is automatic. When I let you know, I remember the disciples with Jesus and some people didn't want to listen to him and they was like, Lord, you want us to call down fire from heaven? Like they could do that, right? And they didn't have the faith for that. But anyway, he said, you want us to call down? He said, what's wrong with y'all? Y'all don't know what spirit y'all come from. We didn't come to kill. We come to bring life. We came to give life, not to take life. So when I teach you who you are, and I teach you that you are life, then thou shalt not kill becomes automatic because life doesn't kill. Y'all better hear what I'm saying. This won't be a very long class at all because I done put a lot in a short amount of time, right? There's a lot to write down. It's enough for a couple tests. But Jesus, I didn't come to do away with the law, but I came to fulfill it. I came to fulfill it full. I came to show you what it looks like standing right here in front of you. You know, Matthew starts giving a beatitude. He said, it's tough stuff, and he's challenging you. He says, you say you sleep with a woman and commit adultery. I say, have you thought about it? What? Thought about it? This is bad if I think about it? What? He said, if they should go a mile with them, go too. If they sue you for your coat, give them your cloak also. What? What? If they strike you on one cheek, turn the other. Right? He's challenging us and telling us who we really are. Challenging us and showing us that we're bigger than these moments that try to affect us from the outside. But if we still continue to look at the Bible as a rule book, our Bible as a principle book, you know, we even preach like that. We preach so many principles that we don't preach the person of Christ, the person of Jesus. It changes us. It changes me from the inside when I preach the person of Jesus. Are you understanding me? And so now, the first thing I need to understand, and we'll do this, and we'll I may just close here. I know these classes are short, but it really don't take long to really get to where we got to get to. The first thing that we really need to do is realize that these scriptures are telling us who we are, and you can find yourself in the Bible, right? You can find yourself in Abraham. You can find yourself in David. You can find yourself in Job, and you can find yourself in Peter and Paul. You can find yourself in Timothy. You can find yourself in Samson and Ruth and Esther, right? And all these different people. You can find yourself, right? But then once you find yourself, now you got to know who your true self is. Jesus allows us to locate our true being. Y'all better write that down. Jesus is allowing us to locate our true being in him. In him, in Christ as Christ, one with the Father. Right? You say, one with God, I don't know. I'm going to show you in the scripture because he says it. But it allows us to locate who we are, right? And when we locate, because something happened to me the other day. I heard a scripture the other day, and it's the same scripture I was talking about with the prodigal son, and I heard God speaking to me because really God told me all these words, but then the red words is that God exactly speak. And he told me, through Jesus, I'm teaching you from mouth to mouth. Like I'm literally teaching you, like I'm standing there in the flesh in front of you, showing you who you are. He said, these are my words. We'll break that down a little bit more. But I'm listening, and I heard an apostle say something in class, and he was reading, in church, and he was reading the scripture, but I heard God's voice. And he says, son, thou art ever with me. And I said, oh, because I yelled because I've read that so many times, but I had not heard it in that voice. And then when he says, son, thou art ever with me, I wasn't reading the story anymore. I'm trying to explain it how it wasn't reading the story. It wasn't like an audible voice, like God's voice sound like this. It wasn't like that, because I heard a different tone or a different shade of it. And he said, son, thou art ever with me. And I said, whoa. And then he taught me something right now. So, you know, you find out where you are so you can find out who you really are, right? Or where you really should be. Or who you really should be. And I did this. I said, well, if thou art ever with me, he said, son, thou art ever with me. And if God is telling me we're always together, then what was I thinking before when I felt lonely? What was I thinking before when I felt lost? Where was I when I was thinking? Like, why was I even thinking that if this is what really it is? And I locate myself, and it shows me the way to who I really am. Y'all better hear me. You see, son, all that I have is thine. Well, everything that God got is mine. Then what was I thinking when I was lacking? Like, why? What did I think before this? Before this moment, when I heard that I'm one with God, who did I think I was? Then I find that. And in location, when you're riding a plane, when you're flying a plane, I do a lot of, we've done a lot of flying over my lifetime. And a plane does something they call triangulate. What it does is you put in the coordinates of where you are, and it through the balance and the magnetics of the earth and all the longitude and latitude, it locates exactly where you are on the radar, right? This has to happen first before you can actually take yourself to another coordinate. You put the coordinates, you want to go to Chicago, you put the coordinates into Chicago, and because it has located where you are, it can take you to any place on the face of the earth. Because it has located where you are first. Many of us are trying to be somewhere, but we haven't located where we are first. Living by the book. This is what the Word of God does. Now see, I'm telling y'all, when we finish with this class, you are not going to want to put this book down. When we finish with this class, you're going to want to be in here all day long in these scriptures, and most particularly the red words, and you are not going to want to put them down because it's going to be revealing so much about you and everything around you to you. Then I locate where I am. Oh, this is what I was thinking. Oh, but this is who I really am. And then I find my way on over there. And then when I find my way, you know, nobody can, I'm here at the office right now teaching this class. But nobody can steal the way to my home from me. I know it like the back of my hand. I get in that car, I don't have to ask nobody in directions. I don't have to put a GPS in. I don't have to pray in tongues. I don't have to get a leading from the Holy Ghost. I don't need a wind or a rain or a glory to come in the room. I know exactly how to get to my house, and I don't need anyone to show me the way because I know it. And y'all better hear me. Jesus said to the disciples, they said, show us the way. He said, and you know the way. When you see me, you see the way. I am the way. He said, and you'll know the way. If you ever listen to Jesus over and over again, he never really gives specifics about what happens at the end of the follow. He just says, take up the cross and follow me. Even in Matthew 6:33, he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. He didn't say find nothing. He said seek. Because in the seeking is where you find. In the seeking is where you're found when you start looking. Them by the book. So we got to understand that these are just not Bible stories, and there are stories in there. This is not just literature, although it is literature, but it's not just literature. It is not just ink on paper, although there is ink on the paper. There are principles in here, but you cannot function in the principle without being the person. Or I'll tell you what, you can function in the principle, but if you don't change the person, the principle that you function in won't be eternal. The person that you be, when you be the Word of God, it makes the function eternal. You start to function like God. And so it's living by the book. John chapter 1, I want you to read it, especially 1 through 14. I want you to read it daily until we get to the next class, John chapter 5, and we'll pick up on some other things there. I've said a lot in a short amount of time, and I just want you to digest it, because we're going to learn more and more and more and more. And listen, I'm teaching you. We're teaching you these different classes, but it doesn't end with us. The Holy Spirit is going to start showing you more and more things. I just want you to be open and prepared no man can really escort you into God's will for you. The only person that can walk into God's will for you and God's way for you and God's identity for you is you. I can show you the way. I can point you in the direction, but you have to do the walking. All right, amen. Living by the book.